Welcome to Wisdom Stories with Mel Gleason. Today I'm super excited to share an amazing story with you, one of resilience and courage. A new friend that I met who has welcomed me into her community, Zara. In her book, My Life as a Traitor, Zara discusses the challenges she endured growing up. Most of these challenges we cannot imagine. Brought up in a comfortable Iranian family in the 1980s, she lived through war and through incredibly tight restrictions placed on women. When Zara was in her 20s and a university student, she challenged that regime. And for this, she was imprisoned and tortured. So what does it take to survive that trauma? And then to leave your homeland and family behind, not knowing if you would see them again? Zara, when I heard your story, I was deeply, deeply moved. And I wanted to be able to share that with our beautiful Endota family, because what you have been through and what you have endured and how more than that you got to the other side is really inspiring and a story of hope and love that I think we should share. So thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you for having me today, Mel. I would like to start our conversation by acknowledging the Arakwal people, who are the traditional custodians of the Bundjalung country, the land on which we gather today, and I'd like to pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to Byron Bay.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to meet you and to get to know the work, the amazing work that you do with your company and what you have achieved. Especially more proud because you're a woman.
Thank you.
So that's always more exciting for me.
Yeah.
I grew up in Iran in the 1980s. I was born in the middle of the Iran-Iraq War, which went from 1980 till 1988. That period covered my childhood. When the war finished, I was about 7 or 8. And then we had to leave through post-war, a country that was going through post-war, and rebuild a new society and rebuild a new culture because the government had changed and our reality had collapsed. The country that we knew was not the same, and a lot of people had lost families, homes, and the level of trauma was so enormous. A million people died in that war in Iran, and 500,000 people died in Iraq. So the effect, the ripple effect of losing all these family members and someone's mother, someone's child, someone's father. And as I grew up, I understood the depth of that impact. And now I listen to media outside of Iran and I listen how my fellow countrymen and women are referred to as. It's just a number. There is no human face. There is no, and you listen to all these wars that are happening around the world, in Africa, in Middle East, and they will give you a number. They go, today there was a bombing in Iraq, 50 people died. There is no mention that these people are someone's loved ones. We forget that. We have become so good at just listening to that number and not putting any faces to these numbers and having no emotional connection. And I think that was the saddest thing for me when I learned how the rest of the world looked at us and how we suffered in our own way, trying to build a country and trying to establish a new culture. So unaware of what the world was doing and what the world was saying about us because we were too busy to put food on a table. There was never a question of, oh, let's take the time now to hate America or hate. That wasn't our problem. Our problem was that there was no food. There were no resources. The education was hard. Things had changed. And my parents' generation had to adopt this new way of living that they didn't agree with because they didn't want this new regime and they didn't want this new government. And suddenly they have to raise the children and teach them to have a double life where you behave differently inside your home than you do outside because you could get in trouble if you show your hair or if you speak out or if you do anything that the regime doesn't want you to do. And everyone was so consumed by that that it shocks me that people think that we're busy hating America or hating the West. That was not the case. That's not the atmosphere that I grew up in. It was a lot of hardship and it was a lot of strength in a way that the way the community supported each other and the way that the children were raised and the way everyone held each other through trauma. And you can see that when there's a natural disaster, if everyone is going through the same thing, it makes it in a way easier because the pain is shared with other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important, how open everyone was about their grief and the hardship that they're going through. And it's, to me, it's a sad thing when everything has become so hidden and so personal.
Mm.
Like we've been taught to grieve in secret and hide our grief and always smile and don't show any emotions because that's a sign of weakness. And I think that has done a lot of damage. Just in recent years, I've learned about the amount of mental illness that we deal with in Australia alone and the amount of suicide, the amount of domestic violence. And to me, it all goes back to lack of connection with the community and not feeling loved and not feeling heard, because I truly believe that as humans, we are social animals. We are not designed to live on our own.
Yeah.
We are not designed to endure all of this. As an individual, we are meant to share this. We are meant to share the load. We are meant to raise children together. We are meant to build communities and countries and societies together. And we are in a lot of trouble because we have taken everything inside and we have shut the doors and we are not engaging our local communities. And that, I think, was the only thing that I missed so much when I first came to Australia. It was the lack of community. And but having said that, it is it's not impossible. You can create communities if you have the love and if you have the strength and if you have a tiny bit of ambition to create something different and share the love and share the stories and bring people together. You can create your own community. It doesn't take a lot. So back to the question about growing up in Iran. That was growing up.
Yeah.
That was growing up. It was not the matter of love or hate. It was a matter of survivor. It was a matter of supporting each other as a community and moving forward and learning the new way of living. Then I came to Australia and I watched the media and I watched how media refers to us and how we're portrayed as a country and as a people.
Mm.
Now I understand why people reacted the way they did when I would tell them where I'm from, because they didn't know.
No.
And I think lack of knowledge causes a lot of trouble, obviously. Like we see that in everywhere. Like we see it with racism, we see it with sexism, we see it with all these problems that we're facing in a society. And I think the best thing you could do is to educate people. You can never stop. Your job is never done. If you're a mother, if you're a teacher, if you have any role, even in a small, if you can change one person's mind, that person could go to the next and to the next and to the, you have to just believe that all these little works, all these little changes, all these conversations actually matter.
Mm.
You can't, if you look at a problem as a whole, it's really overwhelming.
Yeah.
You go, how are we going to fix racism? How are we going to fix? It doesn't work like that. You start in your own home. You start within. You ask the question within. Have an honest conversation with yourself and look within and see what it is that you really believe in and what it is that you really stand for. And start from there.
Mm-hmm.
Start that. See if you're comfortable with that conversation. Write down what you care about and what you stand for in life. And what kind of world do you want to live in? And look around you. See if that world is there. If it's not there, what steps can you take to start creating that world? And I think if, especially now with the COVID and especially with the time that we have been gifted, I'm going to say in a way, the time that we would normally wouldn't be able to take that time, I really, really hope that everyone can take a moment and ask that question and see how we have ended up where we have.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of crisis going around the world. You know, what we're facing with the climate, with human rights, everything was coming to head.
Mm.
We have, as human, we have induced so much trauma on each other.
Yes.
On our planet. We have caused this.
We have.
But we are also the only solution.
Yeah.
We have the power to heal each other and heal the planet. And I think if anything is going to come out of this whole COVID situation, if we can take one step towards the right direction, then we have to count it as a blessing. And yes. I think it's time, especially with what's happening in Victoria at the moment, I think it's really time to start shifting our attention and changing the conversation and see what can be done to change this narrative, and because we are in control of it. You know, minimize the amount of information that is coming to you because the media is bombarding us with information, and really shift your attention. If you can't bear to look at the COVID news, actually great. Write down, what do you care for?
Yes.
You know, there's top three things in the world that you care for. Do you care about planet, animals, human rights? And then start looking around, see what you can do. Join a community and find a cause and put your attention into that, because it is so rewarding. You would be overwhelmed by the way that you're going to feel, instead of just constantly focusing in this dilemma that we are in.
Mm.
And at the moment, it feels like there's no way out of it.
Yes, yeah.
But like all the other things, it will come to an ending.
Yeah.
It's a temporary situation. I mean, my own family is affected by it in Victoria.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly having this conversation about, what can we put our focus on?
Yeah.
Let's be productive. Let's take this time and do something. There's so much going on at the moment in Victoria alone.
Yes.
We were talking about
Western Port.
The AGL, those things are still going on. Yeah. Just because the media's attention has shifted from one story to the next doesn't mean that that has changed. Mm. There's still, our coastline is still in great danger of drilling for gas and oil, the wildlife, the domestic violence rate has gone up. The mental health, like all these things are still going on. If you can, if you have it in you, and if you have the power to shift your attention and put some good work out there, please do. Please reach out to all these good communities and all this amazing work that has been done by good companies like Patagonia, who do so much for the environment. Join the fight.
Yes.
Because then you feel like you're part of a pack, and that feels brilliant.
Yeah.
You feel that you're winning. You feel that you're achieving, instead of feeling this hopelessness inside you that you're stuck in the house and you can't do anything. If there's one gift that the modern technology has given us, is the power to give us access to things that we wouldn't have even imagined.
Yes.
Like, you know, we're sitting here signing petition to you to save something down in Victoria.
Yeah.
How brilliant is that?
So good. Yeah. I think it's what you say as well about, especially people in Victoria, there's a lot of fear. And there's a lot of fear. Yes, it's media driven, but also it's happening to them, right? So they are fearful. And I think when you talk about surviving through trauma or life after trauma, it's how do you lift yourself out of that fear state and shift your attention, as you say, into a state of love or helping others or gratitude, where you can that fear can be a catalyst for good rather than keeping you in that state of constant fear. And I think that was something that you experienced firsthand, like what you went through, that could paralyze a person to stop wanting to do good. But I think in your case, it sort of spurred you on to do more.
It's we talked about how debilitating fear is and the anxiety that is caused by fear. And so much so that I remember days that I was like unable to even leave the house out of fear.
Mm.
And you actually can't predict how you're going to react in situations like that.
Mm.
I am sitting here telling Victorians, get online, get behind some good cause. I don't know if I was in Victoria, I'll be feeling like I would like to do that.
Mm.
But I know as humans, we are fighters. We are designed to fight for our survivals. We are not designed to give up and lose.
Mm.
So many people would tell me, oh, if it was in your situation, I would just die.
Mm.
I wouldn't. And my answer is always like, no, you won't die. You actually cannot tell me what you would have done.
Mm.
No one can tell you until you're put in that situation.
Mm.
So my saving grace in those moments were family, friend and community, and the feeling of being loved, and the feeling of, if I go down, what will go down with me?
Yeah.
It was almost like the amount of love that was coming my way, I couldn't let them down. I couldn't let my family down. I couldn't bear the idea of putting them through more than what I already have, which when I think about it now, it was a lot of pressure, but that pressure made me wanting to get out of the bed, made me wanting to focus my attention on something else, made me, because when you have been through trauma and or accident or anything that has happened in your childhood, that event, that particular incident has already happened.
Yes.
So that is in the past. There is nothing you can do about that. So that's that. Where you go from there, it will determine whether or not you're going to come out the other end. And it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of conversation. I know all of that. But my only, if I can pass one thing down, is it is so important to reach out and have a conversation with another human. Look someone in the eyes, feel someone's energy. And just to feel that love and to feel that connection, it could take you another day. And then that day is finished. And the next day, you start over again. You find a purpose. You find something to live for, something to love, and something to care about. And I think it is so important to have strong convictions. That is what's going to save us. If you can't come up with few things that you're passionate about and you care about, the things that are going to drive you in life, then you're in trouble. Then I think this is a time to have that conversation and really look within and find those things.
Yes.
And I think if you can join a cause that is greater than you, is greater than the pain that you're going through now, not to minimize or invalidate what people are feeling, but there is always something that is bigger. And once you've joined forces with other people, once you feel that you're not alone in this, like there's a logo was going around for when the Black Lives Matters protest was going on, going, we are in this together. And I think same with the COVID.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. It is true. We are in this together. I think that the, you know, the rise that we've had in suicide attempts in Australia just since January, I think that's because people feel lonely. That is a real, that's the real fear. That is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of people feeling lonely and not being able to reach out to people and not being able to have a conversation, that because that conversation could be the deciding factor for someone to take their life or not. I think we need to really, really shift our focus onto that instead of counting the numbers every day. And that language of fear, it has to change.
When you were talking about when you were living through the war and we were just hearing numbers, you know, this many died today. That is like what's happening. We're hearing the numbers of deaths. But you're right, we've forgotten the story behind the numbers, those people, someone's grandma, someone's granddad. And the isolation that people are feeling at the moment, when I'm speaking to friends that are there, they're forgetting that it will end. They're just, they can't see a way out of it. And whether it's you're trapped in your home or you are trapped in your mind, it's when you can't see a way out that you become paralyzed by fear. So I think you're so right. By reaching out and having a conversation, by picking up the phone and talking to someone, hearing the voice, it makes all the difference. And we've forgotten about connection. We've forgotten how important the transference of energy is. I mean, and we started out this conversation, and this always happens with me, with a list of questions that we were going to go through and ask, and then, no, forget the questions, just talk and see what comes, because whatever comes of it is what is needed and required at the time. And I think both of us, although from different backgrounds, have similar values, and we believe that there's an energy or a thing bigger than us that's supporting us. And if you care for each other, your communities, your environment, and understand how connected we all are, that is what we have to go back to. And as women who lead families and communities and organizations, our voice has a ripple effect. And it's a different voice maybe to what we're used to hearing, but it is a strong voice nonetheless. And we have to share through our stories what is important to us so that it can trigger something in someone else's mind and they're like, yes, if I just go and drop a note in that person's letterbox to see how they're doing, or, you know, when you had your accident and people were dropping food off to you to help you through, all of those things, they're the things that matter. That's what gives you happiness and success. The care and connection you have with others. That's a level of, that's a measure of success.
Absolutely.
Not what we used to think was success. The whole COVID paradigm world shifting of consciousness has to happen now, and we have to reevaluate what matters.
It's such an important time that we're witnessing at the moment, this global pandemic that has happened and has affected everyone in a different way. Like, nobody has gone untouched, you know. No. In one way or the other, you've been affected. And I think where we take it from now, it will determine what's going to happen in our near future. And also, even beyond that, this is not, you know, if a person who's committed a suicide, we're talking about how directly or indirectly is going to affect 135 people. So that you can't undermine these numbers. You can't undermine. We have to shift our focus. That's the only way we're going to come out of this. Being consumed by COVID and by the story of people dying, it is not productive. Mm-mm. Being consumed by fear is debilitating. We need to start reaching out. We need to start creating little communities where we can support each other. And we need to put the word out there.
Yeah.
If you don't, even if you can get in contact with one other person, I'm just going to give you an example. After the climate change rallies that happened, it was really confronting to see the children voicing their anger at what we have done. And I think we always try to teach our children about fairness, what it means to be fair, you know, teach them to have a strong sense of justice. And but what we forget to teach our children is what we have done to our planet is not fair. That is not fair. And the world that we are going to leave our children in, that is not fair. This is not what they asked for, and this is not, they don't deserve this.
No.
So after that, a group of mums in our local community got together and said, we need to do something. It's time. It's embarrassing that our children are taking this lead and they're taking this role, and they shouldn't be the one who feel their pressure and anxiety. It's amazing that they do, but really it is our responsibility. We are in a seat of power. We can make changes. So they started a group called the Radical Hope Club. It's amazing. All these moms from different walks of life, they gather. And so we have taken on different projects and done amazing, amazing work. Like, everyone brings so much love and so much consciousness to the table. And then you see the fruit of that, the work that comes out of that.
Yeah.
And the project that we're working on at the moment is the Borumbeg Community Garden, trying to bring the community back together, channeling in all the Greek villages and Italian villages and the town centres, where the old and the young gather, they share love, music, food. I don't think you can, I think when we first talked about it, few of us were just, couldn't understand it or couldn't even imagine. I know we don't come from that culture, but we have it in us. And does it really matter whether or not you have come from that culture? Can't we create it? We are allowed to create what we want. You have to dream the world that you want to live in. So this is my dream personally. I want my kids to watch the elderly sitting on a chair and playing chess together, and I want them to be respectful and walk past and say hi. I want them to be having a, you know, food or a drink in a safe environment. I want music. We took music out of our life. And dancing and sharing those moments. And this is how people feel loved. Even if you don't know anyone, walking to your town square and grabbing a drink and sitting down and having a coffee and watching people live.
Yes.
And watching life, you know, from a little kid that is dancing to an older person who's sitting. And I think we felt the need, especially living in a transient town where people come and go all the time, we can feel that our community is separating. We're getting more and more isolated, as in you don't know your neighbors because everyone is here on holidays, but we have that in us, so we can create that community. Went to the local council and asked them if there's any land that is not being used, and the answer was yes. Mm. So they've given us a land, and we started working and planning, and everyone is jumping on board. Everyone is lending a hand, from architects to planners to landscapers. Everyone wants to do this.
Yeah.
And when we first started, it's hard to imagine that it will come from a conversation to action.
Yes.
But it does happen if the intention is there.
It is so true. And we were speaking before about your mum's, the ancient wisdom tradition that she was brought up in, which I find so fascinating. But it's, you know, the principles of watch your thoughts, watch your words, watch your actions. And as you said, when you were creating this community garden, you think it, you speak it, you do it. We can create the world that we live in if we set the intention and we understand the power and the wisdom of the ancients. And it's not New Age thinking, it's old wisdom thinking. And all the religions, the traditions, they're saying the same thing. Care for others, care for self, care for the planet. Treat others as you want to be treated, and care.
The simple principles. Simple principle. It's amazing that we've come to 2020 and then we have to go back centuries to find our feet again. Learn how to be together. Learn how to act as a whole, as a body. Learn to be a community. And, you know, stop the texting. The community board on a Facebook is not a community garden. Go and meet people in person. I know it's not possible at the moment in in some places because of the COVID, but this will change.
Yes.
And if you start the work now, if you start putting the word out now and asking for that and setting the intention, manifest what you want to see after this. Did you feel lonely? Yes, you did. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to invite people to come and join you? It doesn't even have to be for a particular purpose. Don't put the pressure of like, what are we going to achieve? What are we going to do? Being together is good enough reason.
Yeah.
We don't have time for each other. We don't spend enough time together. People barely, I've lived in Byron for a long time. Sometimes I go to the city and like if I'm asking address from someone, I just feel like they're answering me as they're walking past.
Yeah.
There's such a sense of purpose in the way that people walk, and it looks really important, and I always wonder where they're going. But it's easy. Like, I know people need to get to their jobs.
But do they? I mean, this is the whole change. Do they, or do they need to stop and listen and answer the person? Like,
I know, like that time that you take. Just the presence of mind and body to be with another human, and the goodwill.
Yes.
Have goodwill towards one another. I think that's a really important thing. And try, at least try. Sometimes it's hard.
Yes.
People are difficult, and don't start with difficult people. Don't go and have a conversation with someone who you know. Start with someone that is easier, or even better, start the conversation with yourself.
Yes.
And think about what you want to do and who you want to be, and as I said, what world you want to create, and baby steps.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Baby steps. Thank you. So great. Thank you. So great. And I think, you know, what we are trying to bring back through these wisdom stories is the sense of connection and the sense of how important sharing thoughts and feelings, and thoughts and feelings that are sometimes different to your own. It's important that we hear each other's stories to build that understanding, understanding of each other, so that barriers can be broken down, and then we share and find the similarities, and then we build up a new way of thinking and doing.
We have to break through those walls. I think there's again, such a fear of being judged, such a fear of reaching out and failing, you know, if you get rejected, and how does that feel? I think there's so much fear associated with that, that people don't even take the first step.
True.
I think our high school students, for example, like the What are they focusing on? Mm. What is their focus on? I know there's a lot of there's TikTok, there's Snapchat, and there's Instagram, and there's all of those things. And what is our responsibility is to teach these kids what to do with their thoughts and emotions, and how did we end up here? How did we end up in a place where a 14-year-old kid cares about complete stranger's opinion about them that they do about their parents' opinion?
Mm.
How did we end up in this place? These are all learned behavior.
Learned behavior.
We need to take responsibility for that. And I think you can't, if anything, now is the time.
Mm.
If we don't do it now, when are we going to do it?
But you're right. How did we end up here? How did that care of conviction go? Like, you went to prison for your beliefs. People these days, we're just worried about what people think of our hair color. You know what I mean? Like, what?
I know. We need to. I think I was taught to have that I'm only worth as much as my convictions by my parents. What do you stand for? That would determine who you are. And stand by your convictions. And as a young person in particular, you really can go there because you don't have you don't have the other barriers. Like, you actually truly believe that you can change the world.
Yeah.
I remember feeling that way. And that's a beautiful thing because you're part of a bigger, greater force. And I think that alone will take the focus and attention to smaller things, insignificant things about our look and our appearance and all that. So if there is one thing that I can tell to the students or to the parents is shift your focus, shift your focus. If you can care about something that is greater than you, then the pressure is off.
Yeah.
Then you've joined forces with other people, with other human, and you're moving towards a goal that is much bigger than you, and you are held by a much greater force. If you can take your, at the moment, I know people can't do it in Victoria, but if you can spend more time in nature, if you can feel the presence of Mother Nature, if you can feel the power that she has and the way that she can hold you, it will make you feel so secure. Because there is something so much bigger than you and so much more powerful than you that it almost makes the other things so insignificant. That text message that has been playing in your mind all day, or that comment on Facebook or Instagram, it will become really significant because it is. I'm not invalidating people's feeling and emotions, but we really need to start looking in, and we really need to take responsibility for what we feel. No one can make you feel a particular way. It is you, because of your conditioning and your beliefs, that you feel a particular way. You can't blame it on somebody else.
No.
Like that, we were talking about that victim narrative has to go. Yep. We need to take responsibility for our actions and how we feel, and decide where we want to take it from now. What do we want to put our focus on?
We do. Sarah, thank you. Thank you so much. Firstly, for showing me community here, because through you I've met so many people and felt so welcomed into this beautiful community. And thank you for agreeing to share your thoughts and being our first guest on Wisdom Stories.
Thank you so much, Mel. I don't know if your listeners know this or not, but we are on the Bundjalung country, and Byron Bay is called Cavanbah. And Cavanbah means the meeting place. This is where Aboriginals originally came to meet and to decide and to plan and to be a community. And I think Byron has got this great atmosphere that I think I personally really respect that. And I think to respect what this land stands for. We get to live on it, but this is the meeting place. This is where we get to meet. And how lucky are we that we, in our own backyard in Australia, have the world's most, the oldest...
ancient living wisdom.
Yeah, we do. We do. We actually don't need to look far.
No.
I mean, look what the Bundjalung people did. They dedicated a headland just for meeting.
Yeah.
This is where the communities gather, all the way down From Tweedhead down to Richmond River, people came to Byron, all the different tribes came to Byron to meet. So once again, I'm going to ask everyone, please take that step, reach out to your community. And if you don't have one, start creating one, because you can. It is simple. And let go of the fear, let go of fear of rejection or judgment. Be the leader. If you don't have one, be one. This is the time to do it. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.